Now, we usually present the news at this time, but for a change this week, we will instead focus on one recent travel news item and try to put some context around it. This week, we're looking at the future of long-haul air travel.
The Queen is dead. Long live the Queen of the skies, that is, the jumbo. First flown 50 years ago this week, the 9th of Feb, 1969 to be precise, the Boeing 747 jumbo jet was revolutionary in its time, and it has spawned new technologies, particularly the relatively more fuel-efficient twin-engined Boeing 777. There have been a number of stories recently about the future of long-haul air travel and the impact the new technologies are having. 18 months ago, I was invited to cover the Paris Air Show for Travel Writers Radio by Air Asia. They were keen to for us to see their new Airbus aircraft being put to the test. But many eyes were also on Boeing's brand new 787 Dreamliner, with its focus on fuel efficiency and its much improved passenger comfort, particularly the way it makes you less jet-lagged due to better oxygen circulation inside a bigger cabin. Major airlines flying the Dreamliner include All Nippon, Japan Airlines, United Airlines, Air Canada, Qatar, British Airways, American Airlines, Air India, LATAM, Chile. And Qantas will replace its 747 fleet by 2020 with a bigger Dreamliner 787-9. But now all eyes and ears are intensely waiting for another aircraft in this long-haul sector. It's been called the Boeing 777X. The first of these new aircraft expected to be test flown by Boeing next quarter, and airlines such as Singapore, Emirates and Qatar are interested observers in this game. Well, we'll see this plane that will have the largest engines ever built. Emirates has apparently already ordered 150 of the new 777s. There are suggestions that operating costs for the new 777 will be up to 18% lower, and that apparently would lead to lower long-haul fares. But of course, that remains to be seen. For passengers, the immediate benefits include use of the Dreamliner's ventilation system, which won't dry you out, and that does help with jet lag. It's got higher ceilings that probably will make you feel a little less claustrophobic. It's got dimmable windows, meaning that obstinate passenger who's got his physical blind open because he wants to read his magazine, he'll have no choice when the crew darken all windows electronically. The new 777 is also an aircraft that will turn heads. It's got a unique design and includes a long carbon fibre wing that swoops up and away from the fuselage, then curves down towards the wingtips, much like a bird in flight. I demonstrated it to Veronica in the studio recently. She was incredibly impressed with my 777 impersonation.
I thought it was a beautiful looking aircraft, actually.
I'm sorry about that. Anyway, it won't be the aircraft that flies the longest routes around the globe. That title still sits with the Airbus A350-900 ULR, ultra-long range. It can do 9,700 nautical miles non-stop, say, from New York to Singapore. But the 777's going to come in two versions. There's a 350-passenger 777-8. That'll go 8,690 nautical miles. And there's a 400-passenger, the larger one, 777-9, which will only do 7,525 nautical miles. However, Boeing believes the 777-8, due out in 2021, could gain further fuel efficiencies and be able to fly London to Sydney direct, carrying fewer passengers than the 300. And currently Qantas uses a Dreamliner 787-9. That's the one just opened we saw last year. It's going to fly non-stop between Perth and London in 17 hours, 25 minutes. But it's already made the trip in 15 hours, 45, with favourable winds. I guess the question, Veronica, is whether passengers want to pay more to fly non-stop or prefer to stretch their legs somewhere along the route with a stop of, well, it's got to be 2 or 3 hours, doesn't it?
Yeah, but the trouble is you get off the plane, you have to go and go through security again, you have to hang around, then you have to go through security again to come back on board. No, I think it's much better to go and travel all the way on one flight.
Yeah, so if it was 17 and a half hours to Perth in regular timing and 21, say, or a bit under 21 to Sydney, you'd stay on to get off in Sydney.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Anyway, Qantas has still got to decide on the ultimate purchase of new aircraft, whether it's Boeing or Airbus. They've got a foot in both camps. But they do have this program known as Project Sunrise, and their goal is to be able to connect any major Australian airport with any other city in the world using a direct flight. That is like the man on the moon type stuff.
That is a game changer.
It is, I reckon. And what they're saying is it won't just be Melbourne, Sydney, Perth.
No.
Like I've got a conversation I had the other day with the Sunshine Coast. They're upgrading the airport there. And that will do more than it currently does, brings one or two aircraft in from Air New Zealand. That'll probably start to leap out into Asia.
Mm-hmm.
And provide direct flights into Noosa for, you know, the Cognoscenti from Southeast Asia, whether they're there for a meeting or leisure visit. So I think it's an admirable plan, but probably right at this second a bit ambitious.
Yeah, but the demand is there and it's just increasing all the time.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that Boeing aren't sitting back. They haven't given us their best figures.
No.
They're sitting back going, well, if we trim a little bit here and we trim a little bit and throw that fat person off there. The only other issue we have to deal with long haul is the seating.
It's already tight. Oh, yeah.
Isn't it? Unless you're up the front.
If you're in economy, it's just getting smaller and smaller, space. It's not because we're getting bigger and bigger.
Oh, no, it wouldn't be, would it?
No, absolutely not.
Anyway, so that's our little bit of news context for tonight. You're listening to The Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.